Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Good morning. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 25. It says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And Jesus said, 'Come.' And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus." Well, there was a popular book out some years ago by John Ortberg, and it was titled, "If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat." And you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm looking across the table from my wife. It's Wednesday. Debbie is always good for a program on Wednesday.
Usually, most of the time.
Most of the time. She looks beautiful. She just curled her hair.
Oh, look at that.
And we want to talk today about getting out of the boat. If you want to walk on water, and we do in the Christian life, nobody wants to live a Christian life that's boring and blah and doesn't do anything. We want to make a difference. We're reading a book in staff meeting by George Barna, and he said, overwhelmingly, the statistics show that people have a desire to make a difference in life. They want their lives to count. Nobody wants to live a life that doesn't count. Now, if you want your life to count for the Lord, it's not going to count in the boat. You got to get out of the water. You got to respond to the Lord. And hey, if you want the exhilaration of a walk by faith, you have to get out of the boat.
Right. And that takes guts, right? Because It's scary to get out of the boat. And it takes surrender. It takes faith. It takes trust. It takes a lot of things for us to be able to do that and to kind of die to self and die to that fear of failure, of whatever, and to get out of the boat. And, you know, we have examples of people getting, quote, out of the boat all throughout Scripture. Right. And I think the tendency for most of us is, as we read those stories, we just think, well, yeah, those were really special people. And they were, but they were ordinary people like you and me as well. And so we all have within us the capability of getting out of the boat.
Well, I know that you've been doing Experiencing God, and you had told me about this final day of Experiencing God, I guess the final week of...
No. We're like, I think we're on week 8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we've got a ways to go.
You're still in it.
We're still in it, in
and
the throes.
And so what week is this?
Well, this is week 8, and it was talking about the whole idea of adjusting your life to God, and it kind of went through different people in the Bible and how... because the statement by Blackaby is this: you cannot walk with God and stay where you are. Mm-hmm. Okay, those are opposites of each other, right? And so you have to, like you said, you have to be able and be willing to get out of the boat if you're going to walk with God. And they just talked about the fact that, you know, when Noah started to build the ark, that was a huge adjustment in his life. He faced ridicule. He had to work hard. He had to do things. He had never experienced rain. He had no idea what that was, but he was obedient to God and did what God called him to do, but it was at a cost. Mm-hmm. It cost him something.
Right.
And then goes on to talk about Moses and Abraham and David and Ruth. I think about Ruth. That's one of my favorite books in the Bible, about all the adjustments that she had to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she left her family, she left her home, she went off to another land with this woman who was really not the nicest of people, right? I mean, Naomi was called Mara. She wanted to, because she was just a bitter person, and just the changes that resulted in her life, but what did her faithfulness reap?
Right.
A harvest that was incredible.
Well, most people, you know, the Christian life, Debbie, I learned this from Damond Shook. I'd never forgotten it. He was preaching on Romans 12, and he said, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And he made this statement, the Christian life is all about growth and change. And we're either glowing and growing or we're drying and dying. You don't stay the same because there's the push that the world has against you. And so we are moving upstream against the pressure of the world. And if you stop to just smell the roses, you're going to start getting pushed down the stream. And so you have to fight against that to be the person that God wants you to be. And you got to get out of the boat. Now, here are some principles in getting out of the boat. And sometimes it's a big thing. You know, the call of Abram, who became Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. Go to a land that I will show you. Abraham lived in Ur of the Chaldees, which was Babylon, and the land that God was going to show, he didn't tell him where the land was. He just, I'm going to show you. Well, okay, so how do I know when I get there? I'll tell you when you get there. Just start moving and step out on my word.
You imagine if that was your kid that God had spoke to tell him to do that?
Yeah.
It would be really hard, right? Like, wait a minute, you're going somewhere, you don't know where you're going? Yeah. Well, you don't have any...
Of course, he was 70.
I know, but but relatively speaking, how long did he live? 100 and...
Abraham lived to be 175.
Yeah, so I mean, he was a youngster, right? but I mean, just think about that in terms of, those are adjustments that affect not just you, but they affect your family.
Well, okay, so his wife, she's 10
Sweetheart,
years younger.
Right.
And Sarai, who became Sarah. Yeah, I mean, to leave where, you know, this is my whole life is here. I've lived here for 70 years, and I'm gonna go just based on the word of God. That takes faith. Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him and accounted to him as righteousness. What did Peter have? Well, he had the Lord there on the water and he had the voice of the Lord that said, come. And so he could step out on the word of God. Now, here's the principle. When we talk about walking on the water, we talk about living a life of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You're not living a life of faith unless you're living it based on the word of God. Unless you're, as James says, don't be a forgetful hearer, be an effectual doer. So we read the word. You got to hear it in order to know what God wants you to do. But then you step out and you do it. And that is faith. Just hearing and forgetting, hearing and not doing, Jesus said, well, that's like the guy that built his house on the sand. The one who hears the word and does it, he's the man who builds his house on the rock. And when you do that, that's getting out of the boat. That's walking by faith.
And that takes a lot of courage. It takes a whole lot of courage. I was thinking about that when you were talking about the fact that he left everything he knew. He had lived in that place his whole life. And I was just thinking about, you know, people that we know currently that are in a different denomination than ours, but their denomination is having a lot of internal strife and turmoil, one part of them wanting to stay true to the word, the other part wanting to lean much more towards liberalism. And I just think about how hard that would be to leave the denomination that you've been engaged in your whole life.
Well, to leave the church that your parents built, so to speak.
That's right. I mean, that takes a lot of faith and that takes a lot of courage, but yet you can't stay where you are and walk with God. I mean, if he's telling you to leave.
Yeah. We've had people call into the program, and this was, you know, my own experience, especially growing up Catholic. When you grow up Catholic, and I do believe that there are a lot of Christians in the Catholic Church, although they probably didn't become Christians by listening to what was being said on Sunday morning in the church. It's somebody outside of the church that shared Christ with them. They started reading a book or whatever that talked about salvation, because you just don't hear that in very many Catholic churches. But the idea of them leaving, and it's like, well, that's going to break my mom's heart if I do that, or how can I do that? Getting baptized, that is so hard. Mm-hmm. Now, I recognize that, but Jesus said, hey, if you love father and mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. So we have to say, well, my chief devotion is to the Lord, and my number one love is to the Lord. I have to obey Him over anyone else.
Right, and that takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of courage, and it goes back to, okay, you hear what the Lord is telling you. You're being convicted in your spirit, and then you have a decision to make. Am I going to yield my will to the Lord's will, or am I going to hang on to my will?
Right.
And blessing ground is yielding yourself to God's will. Because we've had experiences in our life, Jeff, if we think back on them, where even though the situation we were in was difficult, we knew that that's where God had planted us. And so it was like, hey, we'll stick out this situation, because if we get outside of God's will for our lives and we move somewhere else, we do something else that God has not called us to do, we're going to look back and what we thought was bad is going to feel like utopia to us, right? Because the thrust behind stepping out in faith is that your faith is in the one who has told you to step out,
right?
You know, and so it's important that that you hear His voice clearly.
Well, that makes me think of our good friend Dick Hill, who's gone home to be with the Lord.
Yes.
He was the worship pastor at Champion Forest Baptist Church for many years, and he and I did the Wednesday night service together when I was on staff at Champion Forest, and just had a great relationship, had a lot of fun doing that service together, and we had a lot of people that came on Wednesday night, really looked forward to it. That Wednesday night service grew to almost 1,000 that would come. And when I was at Champion Forest, well, he went home to be with the Lord. I remember him telling me, and Dick had such a super personality, but he bounced around a lot. There was a portion of his ministry life and ministry where he was just here for 2 years, here for 2 years, here for 2 years. And I remember he told me, he said, you know, I was at this church and things weren't good. Fits exactly with what you're saying. And I started running.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't grounded in, Lord, where do you want me to be? It's just like, I don't like it here, so I'm going to go somewhere else. The grass is always greener somewhere else. It looks better. It's kind of like I told somebody the other day, it's like in college football, the transfer portal. Other teams always look better than what you got, you know?
Right.
Other spouses look better than yours, you know?
Whoa, hold on.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do.
The grass is greener. The grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. The grass is greener where you water it. And so anyway, he started running, and he said he finally got to the place, and that's when he landed at Champion Forest, that I have to be where God wants me to be, and I have to hear His voice and obey His voice. And as you said, Debbie, that's not always easy.
Right.
And sometimes God says, and I feel for these people that are at these churches. Now, I'm of the strong opinion, unless you just hear a crystal clear voice from the Lord, you are to stay here. You need to leave and not subject yourself and your children, your family, to false teaching. Because if you're at a church where the pastor is not preaching the word, he's preaching social justice, he's preaching some kind of social gospel, you get out of there. If he's preaching, hey, loving your neighbor means that we welcome in all the homosexuals and we affirm them in their homosexuality and we have homosexual pastors and we do homosexual weddings, you gotta shake the dust off your feet in that situation, because God will not bless that. And that's the church of Laodicea, where the Lord's knocking at the door and saying, hey, I'd like to come into my church, because you're so lukewarm, you make me sick to my stomach.
Well, and that's an example how, where if you adjust your life to what God's calling you to do, in this instance, if He's calling you to leave the denomination in the church that you have been raised in, brought up in, brought your children up in, whatever, it's an adjustment not only for you, but to those that are around you. And it goes back to that commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your mind. That has to be paramount.
Well, as Kirby Anderson said yesterday, God always has a remnant. And so when the Son of Man comes, Luke 18:8, will He find faith on the earth? We are seeing a great falling away, but God always has a remnant, and the Lord is not going to leave Himself without a witness. And so it's for you and for me to stand up, to be counted, to say, Lord, I will walk with You. I want to walk with You. And though none go with me, still I will follow. And even if it's hard, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to throw in the towel. Because I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about getting out of the boat. Hey, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat, hear his voice, and respond to him. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here along with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about walking on the water. If you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. And Peter got out of the boat, Matthew chapter 14. And he said, Lord, if it's really you on the water, because they thought it was a ghost, he said, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said to him, come. Now, that was open invitation to any of those guys. They could have said, Lord, well, I want to walk on the water with you too, Lord. Peter was the only one. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Now, you know the rest of the story, but seeing the wind, he took his eyes off Jesus. He started to see the wind. At first, it was exciting. Man, this is amazing, because he's actually walking on the water. But seeing the wind, he became afraid and beginning to sink. You take your eyes off Jesus, you are going to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Okay, so Debbie, here's a question that we can
kick
around together.
Okay.
The difference between faith and foolishness. We have known people that are zealous to do something great for the Lord, but they don't wait to hear his voice saying, come.
Right. They're impulsive.
Right. So they presume upon God's voice instead of waiting to really hear his voice and waiting for God's timing. So I use the illustration a lot about when the Lord, you know, I'd really praying about the ministry. Lord, is this what you want me to do? I don't know. I was afraid. And then finally, God's voice came very clearly. And even at that, the timing of when he wanted us to do that, that was critical.
Yes, absolutely. Well, there's a statement in Experiencing God that says this: keep in mind that the God who calls you is also the one who will go with you and who will enable you. But when we get ahead of God, when we lag behind God, we are not going with him. Therefore, he is not going to necessarily enable us to accomplish what we're thinking we want to accomplish. And it is critical, that timing. And I think back onto your call into ministry, and if we would have just impulsively leaped into that before I was ready to do that, before God had really done a work in my heart to be on board with you in that, if I would have just said, okay, you know, I'm gonna do this, but I'm gritting my teeth and my arms are crossed and I'm just mad about it, it wouldn't have been successful. It wouldn't have worked. It would have caused so much conflict in our marriage, in our family, and God's blessing would not have been on that. And so as I look back on that, and I've said this many times, God just enabled you to be so patient with me, because it took a while for God to do a work and a change in my heart. And you never pressured me, you never guilted me, shamed me, you never did any of those things. You were very, very patient with me, waiting for God to do a work in me. And when that did take place, then we could step out in obedience to what God called us to do. And he blessed that effort. He was there with us. He enabled us to accomplish what we needed to accomplish. And I think that's important.
Well, and getting confirmation from other believers, I think that's really critical. So here's one of my pet peeves is when guys say, well, the Lord has told me to start a church. And he has no church backing. He's just like this entrepreneur, you know. And it's like in the world of Christianity and the way God set it up, everything comes out of the church. And so if you're not connected to a church, you have no church backing you, and yet you want to start a church. Mark Driscoll used to laugh and say, you know, I was never a member of a church. I became a Christian and started my own church. It's like, well, that's just
red flag.
Yeah, huge red flag.
Red flag.
That's foolhardy, because you need to have people building into your life and helping you grow, and then more mature Christians that can help you navigate and see what's going on. And then they're saying, hey, God's hand is on you. We want to support you in this endeavor to plant a church.
And just accountability.
Yeah, and I think churches ought to plant churches, not some central organization or not some guy that just has a whim to do this. It needs to be the church. And so when the Lord called me, I sat down and talked with Damon Shook, our pastor. I talked with Mark Shook, my good friend, about the ministry. I talked to Rich Halcombe, other guys in the ministry. Mm-hmm. And their attitude was, if you can do anything else and be happy, do that. Mm-hmm. But one of the marks of being called in the ministry is, you know, I have to do this. It's a burning in my bones. You know, as Jeremiah said, I have to share and I have to obey the Lord, and I'm not going to be happy doing anything else because I need to do this.
Well, and it is a calling. So it's not something you can just conjure up right. on your own. And I think we have seen that in our culture today. We've seen a lot of, quote, pastors, unquote, who just wanted to do it. There wasn't necessarily a calling on their life. There wasn't a burning in their bones that the Lord had placed there, right. you know. And we've seen a lot of disastrous situations come out of that.
Well, I had one guy tell me once, and I appreciated his honesty, because he was thinking about starting a church. And he was a staff member, but he said, I think I might start a church. And his marriage was a shambles. It's like, you're not in any way ready to do this. But he told me, he said, here would be my struggle. He said, the preaching load would bury me mm-hmm. because it's all the time you turn mm-hmm. around. I got another sermon to prepare. I got to study. I got to, you know, and if you're not called to do that,
right.
it is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that. It's like you have a research paper due every single week or twice a week or three times a week. When I first came to First Baptist Texarkana, I was preaching three times a week.
I don't know how we did that. Honestly, and now that where we are now, I have to think, how did we do that?
So that was three different sermons every week. Mm-hmm. And that was just what guys did
right.
In Southern Baptist life. And mm-hmm. Damon did that. And mm-hmm. so it's just like, okay, that's what you do. And so, you know, if you're preaching three times a week, you can run dry. Even if you're preaching, and if you're not called, preaching one time a week can right. be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And people recognize this isn't your gift. You know, you might be a great guy. You might really love the Lord. You might be good at organizing things, but preaching and teaching, that's not your gift, and it's hard to...
Well, and even within that realm, there's a huge difference between preaching and between teaching.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of the... You know, explain the difference between that, Jeff, for the listeners, because you've talked about that before.
You're the one that brought it up.
I know I am the one that brought it up, but you explain it better than me about the prophet versus the teacher.
Well, teaching is really to the mind more so, and preaching is to the heart, it's to the will. And so I think both are involved.
Right.
But some guys, you can listen to them and know that guy's much more of a teacher than a preacher, because mm-hmm. he's not hitting you in the heart as much. And other guys are just home run preachers, because you go out of there and you just say, man, I just heard a word from God.
Right.
It doesn't mean it bypasses your mind, but it really hits you in your heart, in your will. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing. So didn't mean to get bogged down on that, but mm-hmm. You have to be able to discern between faith and foolishness. And you have to hear from God and get it confirmed that you heard from God, because especially on some big thing about changing jobs, changing careers, going into the ministry is a big thing. Other people will see that. And that's why if you're grounded in church, you will have people in the church, pastors, and, you know, not everybody in church is best buddies with the pastor. As the larger the church is, mm-hmm. you may not know the pastor all that well, but you'll have people in the church, Sunday school directors or particular pastors for your age group or whatever. They will recognize in you, hey, God's hand is on this guy.
Well, I think that's an important part of being involved in the church as well, because we have so many people in today's culture who are sideliners. They come to church, they attend church, but they come to the service and then they leave. So they're not in the game. They're there at the game. They see the game, but they're not in the game.
Right.
And for some people, that's the first step in adjusting your life, in being in obedience to what God wants you to do, is to actually become engaged in your local church and to be committed to that, and to step out into different activities that your church offers and get involved in those things.
Right.
And for a lot of people, that's a really, really big step, because you're going from anonymity.
I know.
All of a sudden, neither one of us can say it, but it's going from just
anonymity.
There you go. Uh-huh. Okay. So what he said, it's going from that into accountability, where people are getting to know you and you're getting engaged.
Right.
Maybe you're joining a choir. Maybe you're getting engaged in a Bible study
or
whatever it is.
Yourself out there.
Exactly.
And you have to do that. So that's part of getting out of the boat.
Right.
So to just come to church and say, well, someone's going to discover me,
mm-hmm.
and ask me to lead this or do that. They're not, because they don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. Now, you get to know some people. If you sit kind of in, and this is where we're creatures of habit, so we sit in the same spot normally. We're not normally just bouncing all around. So we sit in that same spot. You get to know some of the people that are sitting in that spot, because they too are creatures of mm-hmm. habit. But you don't get to really engage with more people than maybe the 8 or 10 or 20 that sit by you. And so you need to say, I'm going to go to a Sunday school class.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at a church that has Sunday morning Bible study classes, I'm going to get involved in a small group. I'm going to sign up for the prayer room. I'm going to come on Wednesday night. I'm going to come to the prayer time. We have at First Baptist Texarkana, we have prayer time with a pastor every Saturday night at 6:30. It's open to anybody. And we pray for Sunday. We pray for needs. And it's a relatively small group. We'll have anywhere from as low as 5 to 10 to sometimes 50. We'd love to have hundreds come.
Mm-hmm.
And normally when people have a disaster in their life, that's when they come to, and now want to come to prayer time. And it's kind of a sad commentary on us, because is that the only time we want to pray, is when disaster strikes? Well, God may bring a lot of disaster into your life to get you to pray. But you get to meet people there, and you get to be seen by people that know, hey, this guy's faithful, this lady's faithful. They call on the Lord, and we can trust them, and they're responsible. And then things open up.
Well, I think that one of the main points with that is that not everyone is called to make these huge steps of faith. Not everyone is called into ministry. Not everyone's called to be a pastor. So there may be things that the Holy Spirit is convicting someone of, and it's a small step. It can seem like a small step to them, but no step is small when you're stepping out to do what God calls you to do.
Right.
Because every step takes obedience and every step takes faith.
Yeah, and so vocational ministry is different. We're all called to ministry, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we're all called to minister, to share Christ, to be His witness. And one of the greatest ways that people can do that is at work, on the job, in the neighborhood, at school. And, you know, when you become a pastor, you have less interaction with
right.
non-Christians than before you became a pastor.
You're a lot more insulated.
Yeah. When I was a salesman for Nalco Chemical Company, I was calling on people all the time. I had lots of customers, lots of guys I worked with. Well, so many of them not Christians. And so lots of opportunity. And the church really is a place where you come on Sunday and you come on Wednesday or whatever time during the week, and you get recharged and you get refocused. You get recalibrated to true north. This is what God's called us to do. You get reminded of things that we all tend to forget about God's love and God's will and God's purpose for our lives. And then you go out into the world to make a difference, to be salt and light in a lost and dying world. And that's, in my mind, that's a healthy church. Debbie, I was reading something the other day. I think it's Elevation Church. They always tell their church, listen, the moment you become part of this church isn't for you anymore. We're for the people that aren't a part of our church. And it's just like, all our church is about is evangelism. It's not about discipleship. It's like, well, you've lost sight of the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I commanded you. We come together as a body of believers to be encouraged in the Lord, to focus on the Lord, to be taught, discipled, to grow, so that we can go out into the world and make a difference.
Well, you know, and that's one of the things that Blackaby talked about this week in our study, was that a lot of times that adjustment has to do with making a change from how you think things need to be and do things to how God wants them done. Because sometimes there are parts of our lifestyle that we think are just fine, but when we start walking in step with the Lord, the Holy Spirit points something out and goes, this is not what I want for you. This is not my best for you. This way of thinking that this is okay is contrary to what God's word says. And so that takes adjustment too. And that's where that teaching comes in, because this current generation that we have, so many of them they haven't been trained up. So the things that we grew up knowing were right and wrong based on God's word, they're clueless. Right. They haven't heard it. And so simple things as to what the definition of true marriage is, that's a foreign concept to a lot of this younger generation, because they have grown up with where everything's okay.
Well, and they've never seen a good marriage modeled.
Right.
They have a negative connotation when it comes to marriage, and it's like, I don't want that. That's awful. I saw my parents, and they hated each other. That kind of thing. And so yeah, it's important that we model these things out for our kids.
And teach them.
Well, the other thing to remember, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat, and there will be problems. Expect problems. Nobody has a problem-free life. You walk with God, and you get out of the boat, and you obey His voice, and you think, well, everything should be smooth sailing. I think it's important to remember, Peter started to sink because Peter's like a lot of us. He took his eyes off the Lord. He saw the circumstances. Seeing the wind, he became afraid. But here's the thing, Peter didn't drown, and the Lord was there. And so we can know that there will be problems, but we can trust the Lord, we can wait on the Lord, we can learn from the problems, and know that He is going to bring us safely back into the boat, you know, so we'll be there where He is, and we're going to experience the exhilaration of walking on the water with Jesus. There's nothing greater than walking with the God of the universe. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. When we come back from the break, we'll open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, we've got to keep them brief, of you getting out of the boat that you can share with our listeners. We would love to hear it. So give us a call. Let's talk. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about Matthew chapter 14, Jesus walking on the water and inviting Peter to come and walk on the water with Him. Hey, if you want to walk on water in your Christian life, you want to experience the thrill of a walk by faith, you got to get out of the boat. And that's what Peter did, and he did walk on water. He was the only mortal man to have ever walked on water. Jesus is God in the flesh, human and divine, so he walked on water. But Peter was the only human being that ever did that, the only mortal man that ever did that. Now, he may not have walked on water for a long time, but he did walk on the water. He took a few steps before seeing the wind. He became afraid, took his eyes off the Lord, began to sink. And so here's the thing about walking on water. Expect problems. There will be problems. And, you know, Debbie, when we took that big plunge and I resigned my job and we went to seminary, you know, there were some hiccups. There were some situations. There were some experiences. It's like, okay, God, just like finding a house. Remember how
we found a place? Yes, that was so stressful.
We found a place at the last
11th hour, you know, 59th minute.
Yeah, it's like, we're going to move here and we have nowhere to go.
Right.
Seminary didn't have any housing we were trying to find. And that place, the last place we looked was the place. It's like, okay, that'll work for us. And here's the thing. So, how do you respond to failure? How do you respond to setbacks? I think it was John Maxwell that said, when it comes to failure, you have to take the you out of failure. Yes, you failed. Yes, you took your eyes off the Lord. Yes, you began to sink, but God is not going to let you drown. So you learn from those failures. I love the quote from Thomas Edison when he was trying to invent the light bulb and he had failure after failure after failure. And they said, well, Edison, how do you respond to the failures? You're such a failure. He said, I'm not a failure. He said, I've not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. And so it's positive attitude, and it's just like, hey, I'm moving forward, and that doesn't mean that I won't have some spells where I fall and you know, falter, but I just keep moving on.
Well, there's a statement in the Blackaby book that says this: we often count the cost for obeying God, but we must also count the cost if we disobey. The cost of disobedience is always greater. And that is just, I mean, that was a revolutionary kind of statement. I mean, it just slapped me in the face because I thought, oh man, that preaches right there.
Well, okay, so I have pulled up on my iPad Numbers 14. They didn't go into the promised land. They didn't believe God, and that window of opportunity closed, and then God says, okay, you're gonna die in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. You're going to wander for 40 years. Mm-hmm. For every day, I'm going to give you a year in the wilderness. And they said, oh, no, now we'll go. And Moses said, that ship has sailed, and God's not going to go with you. And they went up, and they were routed. They were defeated badly because he said, well, why are you sinning now against the Lord even further? He told you he's not going with you. You missed your window. You need to just repent and get right with God. But they didn't do that. So you're exactly right. If you don't respond mm-hmm. to the Lord's invitation, then it goes to someone else. You know, with Esther. So Mordecai tells Esther, you know, you've attained royalty for such a time as this. If you don't stand up and speak up now, deliverance is going to come from another person, from another way. Mm-hmm. God's not going to let his people perish, mm-hmm. but you're going to miss out on the blessing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, too, it goes where if God has called you to do something and you don't do it, that's disobedience. And if you step out and do something just because you want to do it and God hasn't called you to it, that's disobedience as well.
Right, that's presuming upon God,
right.
And that's not
good. And so they're just great cost and great consequences when you don't line up and when your life is not in obedience to the Lord.
So a great prayer to pray from the Old Testament, you know, God had the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night to lead his people. They could see, that was the presence of God, they could see it. And when the cloud moved, they moved. And then when the cloud stopped, they stopped. And so I pray this often, Lord, help me to see, so to speak, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Help me to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So I don't want to get ahead of you. I don't want to fall behind you. I want to be in step with you in my life, in our marriage, mm-hmm. With From His Heart Ministries, with First Baptist Texarkana, with Real Truth for Today, with mm-hmm. all the things that the Lord has given me. I want to be right in line with him because, man, it's just as bad to fall behind as it is to get ahead.
Right.
You need to be in sync. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have our friend Obi on the line from West Virginia. Obi, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thanks so much, Pastor Jeff and Debbie. I really resonate with what Debbie said about getting out of the boat and the small things.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes we can... we can ignore the need to get out of the boat and some of those small things. And before we get out of the boat and the small things, there will be no greater thing that God will be calling us to.
Right.
So I really appreciate that. And sometimes that can be just some simple little things that we are sort of shoving aside that we really don't want to deal with.
So
and another thing I'd like, you mentioned a testimony. Well, Pastor Jeff, I've been in the scripture for 4 years and had connected to a church, and they thought I was gifted to teach. And Pastor Jeff, I absolutely dreaded public speaking. If I if I had to get up and give a speech, I was horrified. I stepped out, and I can say 40 years later, I continue in that ministry, and it's a joy of my heart to be in the Word of God and share the Word of God around a table with those in Christ that are anxious to learn. So I just praise God for that ministry that He's allowed me to step into. That doesn't mean I still don't shake and quiver, but I guess I'm like the Apostle Paul, coming with fear and trembling,
yes,
and just seeing what the Spirit of God will do. So I just thank God for His faithfulness. He's in the boat with me. I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. You know, the good news about that, Obi, is then you're not trusting in yourself, because I have the same situation. I was scared to death to speak in public. And so I know that, man, I don't have in my natural abilities, I'm not able to do this. So I have to trust the Lord. I think guys that have the gift of gab, so to speak, and they're, hey, I have no problem standing up in front of a group, they are going to really have a problem with maybe trusting in themselves and putting confidence in the flesh. Obi, guys like you and me, we know that we don't have anything in the flesh, so we have to trust the Lord. Let me give you a good poem and something that you said. Mm-hmm. It is so good. To know the will of God in all things, do the will of God in the small things. Exactly what you said. If you're not doing the little things that God has clearly called you to do, giving, for instance, having a quiet time, walking in the light as He Himself is in the light, if you're not doing those things, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, you abstain from sexual immorality. God's not going to show you anything else, because the things He has shown you, you've already said no to. So, very good, Obi. I appreciate your call. Well, we have Bobby on the line from Texas. Bobby, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. I just wanted to share with y'all the understanding that God gives us is the Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says it the very best, to help people with teaching and preaching. Well, preaching, Dr. Jones said, is logic on fire. So when you understand God's word, you rightly divide it, you teach it. But if you just know something to be true, then you can preach it from the mountaintops, because truth will never come back void.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. And he's that was one of the prince of preachers there, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, and Logic on Fire. I love it. Very good. Thank you, Bobby. I appreciate that. Appreciate you sharing that. We have Roy on the line from New Hampshire. Look at that. Hmm. I don't know if we've ever gotten a call from New Hampshire. How are things in New Hampshire, Roy?
We had some snow, and we had a good rain last night, so it melted a lot of it. So we're doing well up here. We're in around the 30, 32 degree area, temperature-wise. Yeah. So I want to start off in that. I went to a men's fellowship at a Protestant church that I used to attend, and the speaker was from Catholic Charities. And He gave a good talk on spiritual gifts. But anyway, after his talk, I went up and asked him. I said, "Are you from the Catholic Charities that is trying to destroy or helping to to allow illegal aliens into our nation and breaking our laws as far as allowing illegal aliens coming across the border. And he said, well, what would you do if your child was being raped or your child was being molested? What would you do? I said, I understand that, but these people have to come in legally. They have to come in the right way. They can't be allowed to come in just cross our borders. We won't have a country.
Right.
But he never answered the question directly, but I knew he was from Catholic Charities, and I know that there's a push from the Pope, and I'm not Catholic at all, but that to bring the Protestant and Catholics back together. And I'm like, what is going on here? Why? Where's this push coming from? But I know it's other devil. I know that this is demonically inspired. I just want to know, do you foresee the church going back to the Acts church where it was house to house? Do you foresee that coming up?
Well, it could get like that. I haven't really thought that is going to be the way it's going to go. I think we're going to see persecution hit America like we've never seen before. I was asked by the chairman of the deacons at a deacons meeting a couple of months ago. He said, you know, where do you see things in 5 years for From His Heart Ministries and preaching the gospel? And I said, well, I think it's going to be classified as hate speech. And I think that there are going to be a lot of preachers of the gospel and people who stand up to be counted that may be arrested and put in jail for the things that they are preaching. And so I see it maybe along those lines more, Roy, but if, you know, that could cause churches to, you know, unless they're going to knuckle under and preach the prescribed script from the government or whatever, and churches that say, no, we're not going to do that, they could get shut down. And then there would be house churches that would come kind of like underground in China. Mm-hmm. You know, China has, you have to toe the line to be a church in China. And, you know, it's the house churches that flourish there, because the organized approved church of the government is not going to be calling the government out. They're not going to let you do that. And so it could be something like that. But I think we're getting, Roy, I think we're getting closer and closer to the end. I know I have this one guy that listens to the program that always tells me, you know, I'm barking up the wrong tree, that we're not any closer to the end, that things are better than they were spiritually and all. And so I don't see it like that at all. I think that the enemy is pushing us further and further to this one world government, to a one world religion, to a one world leader. He is known in Scripture as the Antichrist, the beast, and he's going to have a cheerleader called the false prophet. And it's moving in that direction. I believe that the rapture comes before that, and so the next great event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church, and it's a signless event, and we are supposed to be ready, because that could come at any moment. And so the Lord is going to come get his children. God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Roy, I think that we just need to be faithful. We need to be standing up for the truth. I appreciate you confronting that guy and asking him point blank questions. And, you know, we give people the benefit of the doubt, but it's good to ask him questions. Hey, where do you stand on these issues? And are we going to stand up with the scripture and stand up for the Lord and be, as Paul told Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus? And what we read in the New Testament of Paul getting in prison for preaching the gospel, of getting his head cut off for preaching the gospel, Peter getting crucified upside down, Stephen getting stoned. All those guys are standing up for the truth, and the world didn't want to hear it. So, end of sermon, Roy. But thank you for calling in, my brother. I appreciate it. And be salt and light there in New Hampshire. That state needs it for sure. Well, thanks for listening today to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve along with Debbie. And I always kid Debbie, because anytime she comes on the program, we always get comments and emails and texts that, oh, I love it when Debbie's on. And so sometimes when she's not on, people will call in and say, I really like your program, and I really like it when Debbie's on. And so I'm thinking, what am I, chopped liver? So anyway, just teasing. But go out today. Hey, shine and share. Get out of the boat. Ask God, Lord, let me hear your voice. If it's really you, bid me come to you on the water. And Jesus will say, come and obey him. And your Christian life will be exciting and exhilarating as you walk on the water with Jesus. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.